James 4, verses 6 through 8. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You may be seated.
Good morning. We are excited about Vacation Bible School beginning this week. And if you are wondering about all these things, if you're visiting with us, the reason why the auditorium is decorated is because of Vacation Bible School. And this week we're looking at creation. And it begins tonight at 6 p.m. And Vacation Bible School is primarily for children, but it's also a blessing for adults. And this year, I'm going to be teaching an adult class, and that adult class will be about 40 to 45 minutes each evening. And it will the kids will go to class around 6:45 to 6:50, something like that. And we'll probably begin the adult class soon after that, and we'll go about 40, 45 minutes of class in the auditorium. And so I encourage you to come to that, and we'll be looking at creation and lessons that we can learn from creation. And also looking at Christian evidences and why we can believe in God. Appreciate Ryan and the work he's done in preparing for Vacation Bible School and all the other helpers who's making it possible. Christians have an enemy who opposes the mission of Christ. This enemy is known as Satan. And in the Bible we read that Satan is called, and my clicker, Brother Ray, is not going to work for me either. Maybe our battery is dead, so Brad, is that you up there? You're going to help me out then. We're going to move pretty fast through these first 3 points, so get ready, Brad. Our enemy is Satan. And Satan is described in the Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, as a roaring lion who roams about seeking whom he may devour. In John chapter 14, verse 30, he is described as the ruler of this world. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he is described as the God of this world. In fact, the Bible describes him as an adversary or as our enemy. Satan wants to destroy your home. He wants to cause you to ruin your marriage. He wants to bring a divorce upon your home. He wants to bring upon death upon your family. He wants to separate you from your children. He wants to take your kids to hell with him. You see, Satan hates you. And he is seeking and going about like a roaring lion, trying to devour, trying to eat you up. Satan is our enemy. He is our adversary. We must understand that God and Satan are not equal forces. Sometimes in our world we picture this cosmic tug of war between God and Satan. And like good versus evil is fighting it out. But I want you to know that Satan is defeated. In fact, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says that he is going to be tortured or tormented forever and ever. Satan is defeated. He knows he is defeated. And thus he wants to harm and take as many children of God with him as possible to hell. When you think about it, if Satan has been defeated by God, and he knows he is defeated, he knows he cannot get at the heart of God any more than attacking those whom God has loved the most. You see, God has sent his only begotten Son so that we can be saved, so that we as his born children into this human flesh, but we depart because of sin, but we are born again through the spiritual birth of Christ, we can be saved. But what Satan can do to harm the heart of God is harming God's children. His earthly, fleshly children, in the sense that he's created all humanity, and especially his spiritual children. You see, Jesus came to defeat Satan. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, the Bible says that Jesus in his work, that he was he came about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You see, Jesus saw as one of his primary reasons for coming to destroy the works of the devil. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, the Bible would say that one of his primary reasons for coming, and Jesus sees his work on earth as destroying the work of Satan. For example, in verse 22, the Pharisees and scribes were ascribing the miraculous works of Jesus to Satan. And they said that Jesus cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And Jesus says in verse 23, how can Satan cast out Satan? For if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. Jesus said, it's impossible that I would be working for Satan, because if I was working for Satan, I would be a divided kingdom. In other words, I am opposed to Satan. In fact, later in the book of John, Jesus would make very clear that he had come to destroy the works of Satan. In John chapter 12, 31 through 32, Jesus says, now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Satan has been cast out by the work of God. How? When I am lifted up from the earth at his cross, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus saw his work as destroying the power of Satan. So Jesus came to defeat Satan. Satan has you as his primary focus and target. But I want you to know that we can have power over Satan through the gospel. In fact, the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we understand that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When you really study what the Bible says about Satan, it's kind of scary. Think about how he is opposed to you. When you look around our world and you see all the chaos and all the horrible things going on in our world, and you think about your own life, and you think about your own mortality, and you think about your family, and you realize that there's a roaring lion, and the spiritual powers of darkness are out there seeking to cause havoc and chaos. And we see that. It's frightening, it's scary, but I want you to know that we have power over Satan through the gospel. And that the message of the gospel is that we can have power through God over Satan. And I want to share with you six things that we have power over Satan with. The first thing is that we have power over Satan's accusations, over his accusations. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul has met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Jesus tells him that he's going to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. In Revelation chapter 12, this great chapter in Revelation that talks about the work of Satan, in verse number 10, it says, now salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accused them day and night before our God. When you think about it, before the cross, Satan could go, and we see this in the book of Job, he could go before the very throne room of God, and he could say, You know your servant down there? Job. Or he could pick out your name. He said, you know your servant down there? I can accuse him of this. He's a gossip. He's a liar. He's greedy. He's unjust. He doesn't control his tongue. And now he could accuse us of all these things. And you know what? He could accuse us of guilt. And we were guilty. The accuser of our brethren night and day. He could accuse us. And we were guilty. But in the power of the gospel, because as Paul was told to go preach, we have power over Satan because we have what? Forgiveness. We have forgiveness. And so now when he brings up our name and he can accuse us and he says, well, there's Josh down there. Let me accuse him of these sins. Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. Jesus is our advocate. 1 John chapter 1. He is our lawyer who pleads our case. And Jesus steps forward and he says, wait a minute. You can no longer accuse him of those things because he is forgiven. Satan lost his power of accusation over us because of the gospel. You see, we have forgiveness. The gospel gives us power over his accusations, but it also gives us power over his temptations. Look to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18. For because he himself has suffered, talking about Jesus, when tempted, he is able, that's Jesus, to help those who are being tempted. Jesus can help us when we're tempted. In fact, and you probably have heard of this verse often in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common unto man. Everything we're going to experience is common unto what humans have to deal with. We have to deal with the unfairness of life, the persecutions of life, the tragedies of life. We have to face these things. And this is what humans have had to face for all of their existence. These are common things, temptations. But notice, God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I don't always know how God providentially does that. I believe a lot of that is through His Word, and we have to rely upon His Word. Like Jesus, when Satan tempted Him, He quoted Scripture on three occasions. Jesus resorted to fasting and prayer to stay strong in the faith. He told Peter, when he was weak in the faith in the garden, to pray, for the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. When we face temptation, we've got to know that God has said Satan is not going to overpower you unless you let him. You see, Satan cannot control our bodies. He cannot come into us and force us to do things. And that's reassuring because Satan is powerful. And I believe one of the reasons why God allowed that during the New Testament time with demonic possession and things is to show the power of Jesus over Satan. I want you to know that if you're facing temptation, God has promised you, He is faithful to you. And Jesus says, I will aid you. I will be there for you. The Holy Spirit is there with us as an aid, Romans chapter 8, 26, to help in our weaknesses, that God will give you a way of escape. Sometimes you might have to be like Joseph in the Old Testament. You may have to flee in the sense of running from it. You can't hang around it. You can't think you're stronger than it. But God will provide you a way of escape if you'll look up and if you'll run to it. Through the gospel, we have power over Satan's temptations. Sometimes people want to feel like they are a victim and like they just can't help but sinning. Well, it's just who I am. It's just the way God made me. It's just what everybody does. God says He is faithful to you to give you a way of escape. You do not have to live in that sin. You can escape from it. Because Satan is not more powerful than you because of the gospel. Number three, because of the gospel, we have power over Satan's deception. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. In the Bible, Satan is described as working primarily through deception. Satan works by selling people lies. In fact, in John 8, verse 44, he is the father of lies and there is no truth in him. Satan has duped this world primarily through his lies. You think about all the false religion, like Brother Ray was saying, how India, 1.3 billion people it's going to have, and how so many of them are in utter darkness because of the lies of Satan, because of false religion, because of all the lies, and serving idols, and serving Muhammad, and serving all the plethora of Hindu gods. Think about how Satan has accomplished his work through deception. And even as we face so much deception in our world today, from secularism, and as we're talking about this week, evolution, and from all the forces out there and the false teaching within Christianity, we understand that Satan works primarily through deception, through lies. But you know, we have a test, a way of seeing if it is true or if it's false, and it's the Word of God. In fact, the Bible would say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he's talking about the man of sin earlier in the text, in verses 9 and 10, he says that the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Because why are they perishing? Why is people being swept away, as Revelation chapter 12 describes, in a flood of lies from Satan? Why are they? Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Jesus says in John 8, 31 through 32, that if you abide in my word, you will have the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. We have the truth. Jesus came that we might have truth. We are not held to the lies of Satan because we have the Word of God. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. And so Satan's deceptions hold no power over us because we have the truth. We know that we were created in the image of God. We know that we have an eternal home waiting upon us. We know that we can be saved from our sins because of the grace of God. We have this truth. We know what we need to do to be saved, to repent, confess, and be baptized, to have our sins washed away, because we have the truth of the Word of God. You see, Satan's deceptions can hold no power over us as long as we look to the Word of God. But if we listen to men, if we listen to the world, if we listen to all the skeptics, Satan wins. Satan wins. But number four, the gospel gives us power over Satan's greatest threat. Satan has a great threat. And his threat is, and his greatest agent that he uses is death. And Satan will use this threat to try to tell you all throughout your life, you know what, you're going to die, so what does it really matter? Live it up. Don't worry about it. And life is so fragile. Why would you want to spend your whole life serving Jesus and being faithful to God just so you could go float around on some clouds for all eternity? You better enjoy it now. And Satan threatens us all throughout life with death. He tells you death's going to be horrible and death is fearful. And us as humans have always, Hebrews chapter 2, been in subject to the bondage of death. And so in Hebrews chapter 2, we read about how we have power over death. In verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. Satan has power of death. All the hospitals and all the funeral homes and all the cemeteries, all the things that work in connection with death, all the murdering and killing and all the awful things that go in that are connected with death, cancer and all these things, they're connected with Satan's power of death. And it's a great threat to us. We're held, as the writer says, in the subject to lifelong slavery because of fear of death. We worry and we fear about death and we fret over death, and Satan has as his greatest threat death. We worry about it and we frighten about it, and we spend our lives often preoccupied with trying to avoid death. I want you to read what the rest of the passage says. It talks about this, and it says that Jesus came that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. You see, we no longer have to be scared of death because Jesus died in our place. In John chapter 11, Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. So through the gospel, Satan's greatest threat is no more. But through the gospel, Satan also has a great weapon. And his greatest weapon in the gospel, Brad, help me out. Satan's greatest weapon is pride. James chapter 4. The Bible says that what Satan wants us to do is focus on our pride. Verses 6 through 10. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Satan will run from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Satan's greatest threat is death. But Satan's greatest weapon is the pride of man. How many people live their life prideful, focused upon their own selfishness, not willing to trust and depend upon the Lord? So much of the Bible focuses upon trusting in the Lord, depending upon the Lord. Yet men struggle. When I say men, I mean in the generic sense, men and women. We struggle to trust in the Lord. And Satan wins when we have pride. When we say we can do it on our own. When we say, I'm going to do this because I feel like it's right, or I want to do this. It's prideful when that's a selfish way that's against God. Satan's greatest weapon is, he says, it's about you. It's about you. And it's about what you deserve and about what you need and about your happiness. And Satan wins when we do that in a way that runs against God. What does the Bible say here in James? It says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so if we will submit ourselves to God, then the devil will resist us. The devil will run from you. He'll flee from you if you draw near to God. But you've got to be willing to repent. You've got to be willing to cleanse your hands and mourn and weep and be humble. The way up is through going down. The way to be exalted is through self-humiliation. Satan's greatest weapon is our pride. Satan understands how to appeal to our pride. Through the gospel, we have power over that because we're humbled, because we realize that Christ died for us, and we realize that we can't do it on our own, and we place our trust, not in ourselves, but we place our trust in Jesus. Satan's greatest weapon is pride, but it is defeated through humility. And finally, Satan grasp. His grasp or his power over us is defeated through the gospel. Look to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. In this passage, John is talking about Satan throughout his book. And in the end of the letter, verses 18 through 20, John says this: "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." Satan has power over the world, but I don't fully understand what this means, but I trust in it by faith that Satan cannot touch us. He has no power over us. In fact, it says God protects us because we are in Christ. I think it's connected with chapter 5, verse 4, when the Bible says, "God, for everyone who has been born of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We have victory over this world through our faith. Satan's grasp is that he can get to us and he can do awful things to us, but the Bible says God protects us. And in Romans chapter 8, after beginning that chapter by saying there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, the chapter ends by saying that all of us who are in Christ are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Then he talks about, he says, neither death, Satan's greatest threat, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, that would be Satan and rulers and all these things, and government officials, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Satan can't do anything to you that can separate you from God's love. You see, Jesus said, "Don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both soul and body in hell." We don't have to fear Satan. We don't have to fear this world. We don't have to fear rulers of this world. Only person that we have to fear is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We must be fearful of Him and of our great God. We must be reverent and obedient to them. When you think about your life, who is in control of your life? Is it God or is it Satan? Are you letting temptations and the world and all these things control you? Are you letting the fear of death and the fear of all these problems control you? Satan has no power over you except what you give him. You have power over Satan through the gospel. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power.